Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. But it's Father's Day. How many of you are fathers today? Would you raise your hand? You're fathers. It's good to be a father, isn't it? Of course, I could say it's good to have empty nests. We were doing some shopping, and we saw a sign on, you know how they have the painted signs that now you can put at your home, welcome, or different things. You've seen them? Yes. Okay. And this one says, rules for dating my daughter. Okay, rules for dating my daughter. Now, I didn't have daughters. I didn't grow up with sisters. I didn't have daughters. I still don't understand females. Even though I've been married to one for 40-some years, I don't understand. But I know this. This is the rules if you're going to date my daughter. Number one, get a job. That makes sense, doesn't it? Get a job. Number two, understand I don't like you. Number three, I am everywhere. Number four, you hurt her, I hurt you. Number five, be home 30 minutes early. Now, that's just common sense, right? You get home, you never give the dad worry, okay? Get home 30 minutes earlier. Number six, get a lawyer. Number seven, if you lie to me, I will find out. Number eight, she's my princess, not your conquest. Number nine, I don't mind going back to jail. Number 10, whatever you do to her, I will do to you. Yes. I think those are pretty good rules, don't you, dads? Yes. And, you know, being a dad, it's a lot of responsibility. The Bible says in Ezra chapter 7, verse 27a, blessed be the God of our fathers. I'm glad that I have a godly father. Interestingly enough, my dad's dad, or would be my grandfather, Madonna, before World War I, studied to go into the Catholic priesthood. If he'd been successful, I wouldn't be here. That's humorous, folks. Come on. Come on. We need to be, you know. But the fact of the matter is, my dad's dad died when my dad was about 7 years old. So my dad really didn't have much of a dad's experience. But I'm glad for the God of my dad. And I hope that the same is said by my sons concerning me. It says in the book of Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. May I say this? You can train your children to do good. But you can train your children to do bad. You can train your children to be indifferent. It's a great responsibility to train our children. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. How are his children blessed? By his walking in his integrity. If you would, the book of Ephesians chapter 6, would you stand as we read the first four verses, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this day. On this day that we honor fathers, Lord, we pray now that each father here each grandfather here would strive to serve the Lord faithfully, to be a godly example, and Lord, to be precious in the sight of their family. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Have you ever found it interesting that they're on the sidelines of a football game and the camera comes on one of the players and they say, "Hi, what? Mom." Now, I don't know, maybe once in a while they say, "Hi, Dad." I don't remember ever seeing one ever say, "Hi, Dad." But it's always, "Hi, Mom." It's amazing how many times mothers seem to get more attention than fathers. And I'm not jealous about that. Now, some mothers say, "Well, I put in hours of labor." My wife can't say that. She never had 1 minute of labor. Though she had to recover from surgery 2 times as they were taken. But the fact of the matter is, it is important, dads, that we are godly men. Every one of us, if we're a dad or not, we are someone's example. And we need to live godly lives. Notice, children, obey your parents. It is not a suggestion. Write it down in your heart. It is not a suggestion that children obey their parents. It's an imperative. It is essential. It is essential. It is necessary. It is crucial that children learn to be obedient to their parents because they need to learn to be obedient to authority. And eventually they need to be obedient to whom? To God Himself. If you do not teach a child to be obedient, they will be rebellious. They will be rebellious. "Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I have a strong-willed child." I don't care. The Holy Spirit moved Paul to write, "Children, obey your parents. No excuses given or allowed." Obedience is right in the sight of the Lord. Parents, it is your duty to train up a child to be right and proper. In the book of Exodus chapter 20, the Lord gave Moses and then, as it were, the children of Israel, what is known as the Ten Commandments. The first four are man to God. The last six are man to man. Before the Lord said, "Thou shalt not kill." Before the Lord said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Before the Lord said, "Thou shalt not steal." Before the Lord said, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." And before He said, "Thou shalt not covet," He said, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Children are to honor and to obey their parents. For this is what? Right. We live in a society that tells us in our movies quite often and in our TV programs that parents are stupid and that children are right. Over and over and over again, we see this played out. Doesn't that have an effect on the family relationship when kids think they're the parents? Or they're the ones in charge? Kids aren't in charge. Kids are what? Kids. At what point in time were you actually smarter than your parents? When you were 7? When you were 9? How many of you remember when you were being taught how to drive a car? Yes. Do you remember that? Do you remember being in the car after the teacher told you you need to do this and you need to do that, and you're riding and you're in the back seat and your parents do something that's not exactly up to code? What was the first thing you said? You didn't do that right. I remember the first time I said that to my dad. It was the last time I said that to my dad. He asked me if I wanted to get out right then. He wasn't going to put up with my smart lip. Teenagers never have smart lips, do they? Don't you love the way they roll their eyes at you? I'm not going down that trail. Hey, I just wanted to tell you thank you so very much for the gifts that you've given to the Baby Bottle Boomerang Project of the Women and Teen Pregnancy Center. But thank you so very much, because children are what? They're a gift from God. Do you believe that? That children are a gift from God? Yes, they're a gift from God. A precious gift. A precious gift. For this is right. Fathers, it is your duty to do your best to raise up godly children that honor the Lord. To do your best. Now, let's be honest with you. Children, once they get out of the house, they're going to make their own decisions. But in the meanwhile, you do your best. And once they leave, you still need to be an example to them, right? You need to be a godly example. And once you become a grandparent, you're still an example. We just took two of our grandchildren to Tennessee with us, and I'll be honest with you, I had no problem saying to my granddaughter, Shayla, I said, as we were traveling to do a waterfall, I said, read to me the book of Jude. She had no problem with doing that. She goes to church. She's active in her youth department. I'm glad that my sons are active in their churches. I think it's important that we raise up godly children. Once they're out of the house, our job isn't done. We are to continue. Can I say something to you as Paul Madonna, not as Pastor Madonna? Can I do that? I'm going to say something, and this is going to bother some of you. Okay? And some of you are going to say, uh-uh. But I'm going to say it anyways. No Christian home should have MTV in it. Okay? No Christian home should have MTV in it. MTV is pumping trash into your home. You say, well, I, no, that's about as far as you can go. You say, but if I don't get MTV, I can't get, so what? I get so sick and tired of people making excuses for bringing trash into their home and then being upset when their children have problems. No Christian home should have MTV in it. Now, you can come up to me afterwards and say, I don't agree with you, and I'll say, that's your privilege, but I guarantee you, you can't say that to the Lord. Because the Lord would say, MTV and E, and right on down the line, right? He would say you don't need to have HBO or Cinemax or Showtime or any of those trash stations. Okay? See, the question is, how strong do we want to make our families? And I could go even one step further. Maybe you ought to be very careful of the Disney Channel. Because there was one time Disney was trustable, but not today. There are a lot of things that Disney now promotes that we don't want in our homes. But see, the problem is that too many believers want to look like the world and act like the world and talk like the world, and we're not to be that way. I just told you we were in Gatlinburg. I was disgusted by what I saw in the dress of whom? The males? No, the females. I was disgusted. I thought to myself, this is not right. This is supposed to be a family town. Well, it used to be until all the moonshine places opened up and all the bars are there. But see, that's the world. Matthew and his family live in Grand Rapids. You know how Grand Rapids calls itself now? Beer City. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you glad that you live in Beer City? We were out in Colorado a couple of years ago. You know how Denver describes itself? Beer City. No, that's not the way it should be. Are we going to be godly? Or are we going to just pretend? Moving along. Verses 2 and 3. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that ye may be, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Basically repeating the fifth commandment. Children, obey your parents. And then we get to verse 4. And ye fathers. Now I'm going to expand that. And ye grandfathers. And mothers. And grandmothers. And aunts. And uncles. Cousins. Siblings. Do we not all have a responsibility to live godly lives? I believe that's important. And ye fathers, do right by your children. Do right by your grandchildren. Let me ask you a question. Is it the right thing to bring the right stuff into your children's lives? It's the right thing. Provoke not your children to wrath. What does that mean, to wrath? Well, in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 36, it talks about the wrath of God. Those who do not believe will suffer the wrath of God. In other words, we're to make sure that our children do not suffer the wrath of God. What's the most important thing you can do for your child? Teach them the way of salvation. Tell them that they're sinners. Tell them that there's a way of salvation. Tell them that Jesus Christ is the way. That is your responsibility. It's your responsibility. And ye fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture, spiritual food. Admonition, warning them, counseling them, giving godly advice. That was all the introduction. Number one, redeeming the time. How many dads regret how little time they spent with their children? Ed Vigalano says, and Brother Wutke, I'm glad you have to say those names when we read the Bible reading. Thank you. He says, I would have insisted, now he's talking about raising his children, I would have insisted that we eat dinner as a family at the table rather than watching television. He continues, this is the most foolish thing I ever allowed to happen in my home, because some of the best memories of growing up were the times my family shared around the dinner table, spending time with your children. Now, I don't say this to brag on myself. Please, I don't want you to think, oh, he's bragging. But my sons could never say to you, well, you never spent any time with me. My wife's my witness. I spent hours with my sons. I was the monster so often I thought I was a monster. We would go places and play chase. I would take them to new construction sites and we would play army in the dugout areas. I don't know how many hours we played pickle. You know what pickle is? It's two bad guys with a glove, and people are running back and forth between two bases, and they try to make it. Some of you say, what? We spent hours. We spent so many hours playing kickball in the backyard, we had a diamond in the grass. I agreed with Merlin Olsen when his wife complained that the lawn was being worn out because the kids were playing on it, and Merlin Olsen said the grass will grow back. See, I knew where our sons were. And many of the parents in our subdivision knew where their sons were too. They were over at the Madonna's house. We spent time with our children. And I believe it's important. Some have said, how do you spell love? T-I-M-E. Point number two, fathering failures. Now, the children aren't the failures. Do you know any perfect fathers? I mean, come on. Do any of you know any perfect fathers? Did you have a perfect father? Were you a perfect father? Are you a perfect father? No. No. But we must strive to do our best. Can I say this to you? And I mean this in love. Some of you need to apologize to your children today. You need to apologize. You need to say, hey, I wasn't the father I should have been. And if I could do it over again, I would do things differently. I've had to apologize. I did. I wasn't the perfect father. I guarantee you I would do things differently today if I could. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a just man falleth seven times. Now, I had this in my notes before I went to Baskin Falls. You say, well, where is Baskin Falls? Anybody ever been to Baskin Falls? It's like Baskin and Robbins. The 31 flavor, isn't that Baskin and Robbins? Rudy, you been to Baskin Falls? I took you there. Yes. So I was going there on Tuesday morning. Donna was still back at the cabin where we were staying, and I took Shayla and Travis, and we went to the falls, and we were almost there, and I pointed to Shayla, and I said, that's a good photo place. And she went down about 3 foot down to the creek, and she took her picture and said that was good, and she came up, and then I said, I went down. The problem is I went down. I just don't know what happened. I was going down, and the next thing I knew, I was falling. You know, there is no problem with the falling. It's what? That sudden stop. Okay, that sudden stop. And I landed on a log right here. I am black and blue. And a just man falleth seven times in what? Riseth up. You know, I didn't want to get up. I did not want to get up. I hurt. I hurt so bad, I just thought to myself, now that was stupid. I don't know what I did. I really don't. Both of them have said, that being Shayla and Travis, it was in slow motion. And that I was waving at something. I was probably trying to catch something. And I was laying there in the muck. And Travis was saying, are you okay? Are you okay? And I wanted to say, no, I am not okay. But you don't want to frighten your grandkids, do you? You don't want them to feel like, oh man, we're this far away from the trailhead and we're this far away from anyone that can help. And so what did I do? I struggled to my knees and then I stood up. You know, there are times, though, as fathers, we're going to make mistakes. It's going to happen. A just man falleth seven times, yet he riseth up again. That's why sometimes you have to apologize, because you make mistakes. But keep yourself in the Word of God. Keep yourself in the house of God and with the people of God. And riseth up again. Point number three, good decisions. I have never regretted bringing my children to church. I've never regretted it. I have never regretted bringing my boys up in the nurture of the Lord. If I had to do it over again, there would be more chores and a lot less television. Can I repeat that again? If I could do it again, there would be more chores and less television. And my children didn't watch a lot of television. First off, there wasn't as much as there is today. How many of you remember when there was Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 7, Channel 9, and later Channel 50? Do you remember that? And that was it. And do you remember when the national anthem would come on and the flag would wave and the television went off for the night? I mean, that's the way it was. Yes. Things were different. Number four, love lived out. My boys never had to wonder if I loved their mother. They never had to wonder. They don't have to wonder today. My grandkids know that I love their grandmother. It's important. I hope they never had to wonder if I love them. But most importantly, I hope they know I love the Lord, the Lord's word, the Lord's house, and the Lord's people. Your actions speak louder than words. Your actions. Which brings us to the conclusion. It is my belief that the majority of the church has no desire to live godly lives outside of these walls. That all too many of us come to church simply because we do it out of superstitious beliefs that if we don't, God is going to squash us like an ant. But you know, you should live as godly outside these walls as you do inside these walls. That what you would never do within these walls, you shouldn't do outside these walls. Too many of us want to act like the world and look like the world and sound like the world and live like the world. Where we were staying first was a cabin, but then we had to leave one day early and we went over to Country Inn and Suites and they had a swimming pool. And so I took Travis and Shayla down to the pool. And Travis is a swimmer in his school. His swimming team has not lost a meet yet. So he's excited about next year getting swimming again. But we're swimming. Well, they were swimming. I was hurting. Okay? They were swimming. And they'd been in there, I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour, when a 11, 12, 13-year-old girl came in. And I want to be careful how I say this. But when she came in, evil came in. She was dressed so lewdly that I didn't have to say to Shayla and Travis, we need to leave. They just got out of the pool. See, when a girl dresses that way, she only dresses that way for one reason. And that's to be looked at. And that's wrong. See, where are we in our Christian walk? Do we want to look like the world and act like the world? Or do we want to say, I want to do what's pleasing to the Lord? Decisions have to be made. Take your Bibles quickly. Psalm chapter 139. Psalm 139. What we need in today's world, gentlemen, are men who are willing to stand on the Word of God, who are willing to be counted as believers. And it says in Psalm 139, verses 23 and verse 24, David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, Lord. Are you willing to say that? Ladies, grandmothers, search me. Know my heart. Well, the Lord already knows your heart. Jeremiah says that he searches our heart. Try me and know my thoughts. What is the one thing I look forward to in heaven other than seeing the Lord God Almighty? No more stinking thinking. I'll be honest with you. What is it going to be like not to have stinking thinking? You're in line at your local grocery store, and why is it the other lines always go faster? Man, you're over here at Costco waiting to get gas, and the other lanes always go faster than yours, and you just are so pleasant about it. And do you get out and sing a song thanking God you're in the slow lane? Uh-huh. Yes. Know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Shall we stand together? Invitation song number 17, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. We can sit on the front pew, or you can even sit where you're at and pray. But maybe today you just need to say, Lord, search me, know me, try me, and lead me. Help me to do what's right. As a father, as a mother, as grandparents, uncles, aunts, siblings, dear Heavenly Father, we ask at this invitation time that your name would be honored and glorified. May the Spirit move. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.